The way I think of it is you can be a brilliant violinist in an orchestra or a soloist. Then you get to a conductor or an orchestra manager. Well, an orchestra manager is a very, very important job, but I don't think it's as much fun as actually being a soloist. And I am a soloist.
Hello, and welcome to Working It from the Financial Times. I'm Isabel Berwick. In many companies, a management position is a sign of status. As you gain experience and get promoted, you manage more people and win more influence. That's the received wisdom on how career progression works. But some people don't want to manage others or just aren't suited to it. Can those people have fulfilling careers without having to deal with the faff and the politics of management? A little later, I'm going to speak to Carl Edge, Chief People Officer for KPMG in the UK, to find out what the options are for people who are ambitious about their careers but don't want to oversee people. But first, I'm going to speak to someone who's lived it. Martin Wolf is Chief Economics Commentator here at the FT, where he's worked for more than 35 years, all without processing a single request for annual leave. Martin is my neighbour at the FT, and he's often said to me how glad he is that he hasn't had to manage anyone here. Our producer, Misha, popped into Martin's office to find out more.
Martin, thank you for joining me. Am I right in saying you've never wanted to be a manager?
Almost right. I think when I started my professional life, I was 25 and I ended up in the World Bank. I didn't really know where I would go and what I wanted to do. And about 3 years in, when I was running the largest team I've ever run, which consisted of five people, I realized that I would rather focus on what I did than manage other people doing that sort of work, and that would get even worse if I went further up the hierarchy. So I decided after that that I wasn't going to spend my time managing people. I was going to spend time managing myself. It's one of the reasons in the end that I left the World Bank, because it became obvious that my next step in the hierarchy, I was already a senior economist, would be to become a manager. And then I would end up managing a department and perhaps a vice presidency. And that really didn't excite me at all.
So it sounds like progress was tied up with managing people.
I think that's true in many organizations which have an output. The natural progress is to manage more of those outputs. And when you do that, what you're doing is managing people. So you become a manager.
And what was it about managing people that wasn't for you?
I realized that what really mattered to me was to work out what I thought about something and express that and get that into the public domain with the feeling that this is mine. This is my contribution, my voice. I wanted that to be me. The second part, which is was less important, but not insignificant, I realized pretty soon managing people is difficult if you want to do it well. In this particular case, I think I had four or five subordinates. But one of my subordinates was a woman who had a lot of difficulties. And I took that very seriously. I wanted to help her and support her, work out where she would fit in. And I found that emotionally stressful. I wanted to do the best for her, but I also wanted still to ensure the team worked. She didn't fit in very well in the team. And I thought, do I really want to do that part of the job for the rest of my life, managing people, and then managing hundreds of people, even worse, until you become completely indifferent to their fates, which would be really terrible. So I just decided that's not what I wanted to do. It wasn't me. It wasn't something I wanted to devote my life to.
So management is a skill. It's something you might have a flair for, but it is a skill. And developing that would have taken time and distracted from other things.
I think it is a skill, and I didn't want to acquire it particularly. I'd rather develop my skill as an analyst, as an economist, as a writer. But I don't think I was bad at it. I'm fairly clear-minded and get on with people reasonably well. I think I could have done it, but I wanted to do my work. So you have to be clear about this. You know, the way I think of it is You can be a brilliant violinist in an orchestra or a soloist. Then you get to a conductor or an orchestra manager. Well, an orchestra manager is a very, very important job, but I don't think it's as much fun as actually being a soloist.
And what is it about being a soloist that you most enjoy now?
You're judged on what you do. People know what you've done. They can praise or blame you for it. And when it goes well, you feel the satisfaction that you've actually cracked a problem. And it's this sense of a personal relationship with the work, which is to me immensely satisfying. In the end, what comes out, in my case, it's words, is a product of your efforts. I think that gives really extraordinary satisfaction in one's work. And I don't think I would feel the same if it were part of a collective operation. And as a manager, well, even worse, you start getting credit, or in worst cases, taking credit for things other people do. I'm not prepared to do that.
So you have a high profile, you're very influential in your job. Is it fair to say you don't regret managing more?
I have rather few regrets, which I'm very pleased to say, but certainly at the very bottom of my list of regrets is that I haven't managed.
Martin, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Martin has made his name as an individual contributor, someone who does his own thing, does it well, and doesn't oversee anyone. But his situation is a bit unusual. For most people, seniority will mean management. My next guest is pretty senior. I'll let him introduce himself.
It's Carl Edge here. I'm the Chief People Officer at KPMG in the UK. There's 18,000 people across KPMG in the UK, and my role is to help them come into our organisation, develop into our organisation.
At any one time, KPMG will have thousands of managers. That umbrella term includes performance managers, who manage in the traditional sense, overseeing groups of people and helping them develop. But it also covers other, less formal management roles. People who might manage a project, for example. I asked Carl if people had to become managers at KPMG to get ahead. He explained that many people, unlike Martin, actually want to manage others.
Many people who join us because they want to be leading teams, managing teams, helping other people improve. And so many people will put their hand up. But also for some, we'll say, look, there's development opportunities here. We always have the debate about whether as a manager, is it nature versus nurture? Actually, I genuinely believe it's about nurture. It's about giving people the opportunity and the support and the development as managers, which make them actually more empathetic in then managing others.
So you wouldn't say that some people are naturally better at managing people. Do you think it's all learned, or do you think there are some personality traits that can help?
Yeah, definitely some people are better, but there are also skills that people can learn. One of the things when we do recruitment into our business is we're looking for a mindset of people who want to continuously learn, as opposed to think to themselves, hey, I've got to a certain level and I don't need to learn anymore.
Can you progress at KPMG if you don't take on a management role? I mean, are there some people who stick to their amazing, you know, corporate or audit skills?
They'll still have to have the people skills because they'll be working in teams. Actually, as they get more senior, they'll still be running, say, bigger audit teams out at audited entities, or they'll be running bigger project teams. So they'll be managing the project, even if they're not doing the more formal performance management role against individuals.
And if you're a performance manager, is that your whole job? You're not doing anything else?
Yeah. So we have some parts of our business where absolutely that performance management role might be 20 or 30% of somebody's job. But the other 70% is absolutely working on clients and audited entities and out in the market. We do have some parts of the business where actually by the nature of the business that we can have full-time performance managers, because we recognise that that fits with the sort of client demand. So we're flexible and offer both.
One of the things we talk about a lot on the podcast, and I hear from people, is that a lot of people dread management because they don't like dealing with people's problems, you know, yeah, their time yeah. off, conflict in the team, that kind of thing. Do the non-performance managers get to dodge that, the people who are just working on projects?
Well, interestingly, because you spend your life working with people across all sorts of projects, that will impact everybody. Yes, you've got the performance manager who's dealing with that, if you like, in a more formal way. But if you think about it in the normal flow of work on any project with a client or an audit entity, actually those things come up on a daily basis. And so if you're the manager of that project, you'll be dealing with that anyway. So I don't think you can let other people, if you like, have responsibility for it. I think the other thing in our organization is many of the people who join us want to have the opportunity to help other people develop.
There's a growing feeling that older people in the workplace have a sort of duty to give back by helping other people develop their careers. Is that something you're seeing? Has that increased since the pandemic? Or do you think that's something that's always been part of the culture?
So that's always been part of our culture. I've been very fortunate in my career to have more senior people who have coached and supported and challenged me, you know, in different ways as we've worked our way through. And I think we see that as all of our responsibilities as directors and partners in our business that we should be doing that. I think it's really interesting since the pandemic, I think people are far more thoughtful about what they want their careers to look like. So actually that performance management is even more important. I don't think people just say my ambition is to be one thing anymore. You know, my ambition is just to be a partner in the firm. And so I don't think that career progression's linear. Maybe in a pre-pandemic world, it was a more linear. Now, you know, it's much more squiggly, if I use that word. You know, people can come in and go out. People can actually take different roles at different times. So I think that's something that we have to be much more flexible with as an organization.
If you want to be someone who drives change or be influential in your workplace, is it possible to do that without carrying a management role of some sort?
I think you can do it without carrying a management role, but I think you do need to be a leader. And I don't mean a leader as in I've got a title that I'm a leader. I mean a leader as in I can take a group of people and help shape them and drive an outcome for a client or an impact in society or a change in our business. So that's where it's subtly different, I think.
During your long career at KPMG, have you ever just wanted to focus on the task in hand and spend less time on managing employee issues? Or is it something that you've always enjoyed?
I get my energy from people.
Right.
And so I love being around people. And I've always wanted to learn from more senior people. And as I've got more senior, I've always wanted to pass on that learning to others. I think there's a massive satisfaction I get. And I see in our organization, lots of people get when the people you manage sort of flourish themselves or do something they didn't think they could do.
There's going to be a lot of people listening to this who are skeptical about the joys of management. Can you sell it to them in a sentence?
Where else do you get the chance to touch the lives of people that enables them to be better for themselves, better for their friends, better for their family, better for their communities and better for their clients? That's the opportunity that people management gives you.
Carl, thanks so much for coming on to Working It.
It's been brilliant. Really enjoyed it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Lots of people dread becoming managers and having to do less of the work they love to focus more on staff issues and the big picture stuff that relates less and less to their work. But some people, like Carl, thrive off helping others and steering them in their careers. It sounds like if you want to make headway at KPMG, you basically have to be willing to manage others in some sense, even if you're not formally recognised as a performance manager. I'm sure that's true at other companies too. For what it's worth, I loved being a manager. During the pandemic, I ran a small team of journalists here at the FT, and I got to know a lot about their lives during those long hours on video calls. But it can be draining. Being a good manager takes time, effort, and emotional investment. I think there are times in our lives when management is a great path to success and fulfillment. But it's fine to balance that out with times when we focus on ourselves and doing our core work. More than ever, we have the freedom to go back and forth between the two career paths. Thanks to Martin Wolf and Carl Edge. This episode of Working It was produced by Misha Frankel-Duval and mixed by Simon Panay. Manuela Saragossa is the executive producer, and Cheryl Brumley is the FT's global head of audio. Thanks for listening.